Blog Talk Radio.
Brought to you by P4P Muscle Productions and Entertainment, the number one drug-free athlete sponsorship foundation in the world. Following under the teachings, don't trust me, trust my hustle. The ringleader of this show and conductor of this machine is Kalen Lend Your Ear Patterson. Sit back, relax, and turn up your volume to P4P Real Talk.
Hey, everybody out there, Kalen Patterson, along with Desiree Fletcher. We are just so happy with P4P Real Talk, and this program is sponsored by P4P Muscle, the number one drug-free sponsorship foundation and opportunity in the world. If you are a drug-free athlete and are looking for a solid foundation to stand on and a vehicle to drive your goals, check us out at p4pmuscle.com. And now, let's talk. And I'm smiling already because I know this fella. I met him at the NGA Heart of America, and I just had a wonderful time with him some years back. And we just kind of clicked, and everything was fine. But this man he's quite the enigma because he, along with another guy named Jeremy Coleman, have just phenomenal physique. But it seems like they have so much in life going on that bodybuilding has truly been a hobby, not where it's so competitive where they forget that they have actual lives, and they just step on stage right where they left off when you see them, and it's kind of amazing. I mean, I put them along with Ryan Doris, as far as how they can just keep bringing that great package even better every time they step on stage. So, Ben, please introduce yourself, and Desiree will take it from there.
Hey, what's up, Kalen? My name is Ben Goins. I live in Southern Illinois in a little town called Heron. I work for IDOC. I've been there for about 14 years. I compete in natural bodybuilding. My family, however, is the most important thing to me. Father of twins, and been married for about 3 years now. And like Kalen said, bodybuilding, natural bodybuilding and powerlifting is nothing more than a hobby that I like to and strive to improve upon each outing. And I'm the kind of person that believes that, of course, I compete to win, but as long as I beat my previous self, that I'm satisfied. And I'm looking forward to competing probably in the spring of next year in natural bodybuilding. And I actually have a powerlifting meet coming up in about 8 weeks in Waynesville, Missouri, which I've been training for quite some time on, and I hope to do pretty good at that.
Wow. So tell us a little bit how you got started in the bodybuilding aspect of it. And because I know your career is pretty varied. You're currently an NGA pro, but that's not the only pro title that you held.
Correct. I got started in natural bodybuilding by accident. I was one of the typical guys that didn't really know anything about natural bodybuilding or that it even actually existed. Served in the United States. I'm sorry?
No, I'm laughing because I feel the same way. It's like, what? There's a difference.
Right.
I had no idea. Yeah.
And it's funny because I still come across guys that, you know, it's just not as mainstream as I would like to see it, but guys are like, natural bodybuilding, what's that? And so I'll have to explain to them that they can be done without enhancements, if you will. And I got started after I did 4 years in the Marine Corps, honorable discharge. My weight ballooned up to, I'm guessing, it was around 260 pounds and a 40-plus inch waist. Really not the look of a Marine after, you know, doing my time. And I looked at myself one day, and I pretty much had a breakdown. I was like, this is not me, so I got to make a change. So I took the baby steps, used Google and bodybuilding.com to do the typical bro diet, eat healthy, you know. I'm more of a flexible dieter, if you will, now. But back in the early days, I was the typical person who was just pulling for straws, trying to figure out what worked for me. And I ended up losing some weight and wanted to take it to the next level and got interactive with bodybuilding.com and the forums there, ran across the guy they call Dr. Lane Norton, and worked with him for about 17 or 18 months, and was under his wing for quite a bit, and he taught me quite a bit, and he brought me into my first couple of the shows and did really well, and then I got hooked from there. I started dieting myself after what I learned from him, and kind of put my own spin on things, and just keep beating my previous condition from year to year, and so far a pretty good track record.
Yeah, I would say so. I would say so. When did you earn your NDA pro card?
If I remember correctly, my first NGA pro card, I won it twice. I won my pro card, I think it was 2007 or 2008, and I took a 2-year layoff, and pretty much the guidelines where you have to compete within the 2-year window, in which I had every intention of doing so, but life happens, and we've had some family issues come up with a couple of unexpected deaths that take precedence over natural bodybuilding. So instead of writing and trying to get an extension, I decided to just go ahead and let the card expire. It may not sound like the cool thing to do or whatever, but I had it in my head, and I'm the kind of person that believes that if I earned it the first time, I should try to earn it again, which I did.
Okay, very
good.
That's
a true devil dog right there.
That is, that is. It takes a lot to earn a pro card once. And that's just a lot of mental wherewithal to go after it again. So I can't say that I've met somebody like that before, but that's very interesting because it just speaks to, you know, determination when you have a love of the sport, and that is the right mindset to have. If I, you know, did it once, I can do
right.
it again.
I won my NGA pro card.
Ahead.
I'm sorry. Won the NGA pro card. Then like 3 months later, I competed in a IMBF show. It was actually Dr. Joe Klimczewski's show. His very first show that he had in Evansville, Indiana, was a WBA
yes.
pro qualifier. And I took the medium class. I won my medium class, went to the overall, and actually won the overall and earned my WMBF pro card, in which I never competed because it fell within the same 2-year guidelines as well, and I never tried to re-earn the WMBF pro card.
Okay, well,
Dee, can I say something?
Sure.
Yeah, go right ahead.
I'm smiling from ear to ear. I knew I remember. Yes, I was at that show, and I was so happy from meeting Dr. Joe that I and Corey Probst, I couldn't remember too much of anything from that show, because at the time, they were the real deal when it came to taking care of the metabolism, taking care of the nutrition, taking care of the diet. And, you know, Dr. Lane Norton is out of that camp. So I was so happy that people were actually in the business that were taking care of people's bodies, not for stage, but for life and good health. And I could, you know, for me, that's when I heard about natural bodybuilding, that's what really drew me to it. Is that, you know, if it's about health and fitness, why aren't people really healthy and fit instead of stepping on stage looking aesthetically pleasing, but, you know, their metabolisms and their genetics are falling apart as you watch the show go on. So, you know, when you had won that show, it was like it was icing on the cake, but everything for me was meeting those three, because
right.
I met Dr. Joe and Corey, but I didn't have a chance to meet Lane. I met him at the DeKalb show. But they were the people that had really guided me in the where you saw it was the right direction to go. I guess that's the best way to say it.
And that show,
well,
that had a very memorable experience, and that show really meant a lot to me, not only because I won my class and won the overall WNBF Pro, but the people that were there, it was Alberto Nunez from 3DMJ,
yep.
It was his very first pro show, and he had one heck of a season that year. Kurt Widener was in the pro show. He looked like an animal, hence his nickname.
Yeah.
And I believe it was Cliff Wilson's one of his very first shows, too. So there was a lot of talent there, and it was just so inspiring to meet those people and actually see those people, interact with those people. And actually, it was kind of awesome to see how they were backstage, what they were doing, how they were preparing themselves during the final few minutes before they get on stage. And it was a learning experience that was, you know, that can't be bought by money. I mean, it was just awesome.
Amen to that.
So what is it exactly that you saw that impressed you so much with how they were prepping themselves? Because I'm sure, I mean, a lot of people, they get backstage and they're so focused on what it is they need to do next that they maybe aren't taking the time to be paying attention to, you know, the veterans that are back there and watching what they're doing. So what were some of the tips that you picked up or the things that you picked up on them that have been helpful to you?
Well, just the calmness that they presented, you know, they knew all the hard work was done, you could tell. For instance, I can remember seeing Kurt Widener just standing there, sliced to just unbelievable. I mean, he was just awesome shape, putting on his own dream tan. And I was like, how in the world is this guy doing this? And he pretty much put his entire dream tan on himself. But, I mean, Alberto Nunez, a great guy. I met him in person at that show. Calm and collected and just smooth as they come, had a tragedy a few weeks prior to that, and he flew all the way out to Evansville, calm and collected, first pro show, no nervousness about him whatsoever, and in my opinion, even though he placed last that show, he held his own, and you could see that he belonged on that stage, but just the camaraderie amongst the veterans, you know, there was no, like, everybody was so helpful with one another. I remember when I turned, when they announced me winning the overall, Kurt Widener, the first person that I saw right off the stage, said, "Welcome to the pros." And I'm telling you, it was like, as minute as that may sound to some, it meant the world to me because I was like, wow, you know, he just, like, he's a famous person, and he just spoke to me, and he said, "Welcome to the pros." So, you know, this made me want to, just inspired me to want to better myself and keep pushing further and be my best every time out.
Oh, exactly. I mean, the small things really do matter, and it's a good point that, you know, even though you're competing with everyone back there, there's a lot to be said for just common courtesy and grace and camaraderie among athletes, because that's really, you know, a big part of it. That's a lot of what it's about. It can make or break a show experience for some people. So I mean, that's exciting to hear that. So, you've got a lot going on in your personal life as well. You're a father of twins. What's that all about? What's that been like?
Father of twins. Let me tell you, there's nothing like it. nothing more rewarding in the world. They can make you pull your hair out if I had any. but they're awesome. I'm telling you, they're so smart and they pick up. When I get home from work every afternoon, they're knocking on the window, watching me walk up the drive. And that just, no matter what kind of day I've had, that just makes everything bad that happened go away. And the environment that I work in, that's a blessing. When I get home from work and I have those two little people, they're just dying to see me. And it's a learning experience. These are our only children, and I'm not too sure if we're going to have another one or not, but we've got the best of both worlds, boy and girl twins, Lexi and Layton, and they're 18 months a couple weeks ago.
Wow.
And they're so smart. It's just amazing how much they absorb.
So, and both you and your wife have your hands full, definitely, but you're also prepping for a show in the spring. How are you balancing all of this right now?
We're a team. That's the only thing that I can come up with. It's a team. We do everything as a team. we have a set routine. Sometimes that has to go get set aside, obviously, due to life issues and how the babies are feeling, if they're sick or not. But we've been fortunate. We make time. We actually right now we go on a run or train together whenever we can. Best training partner I ever had is my wife. and not just saying that because I'm married to her, but that's the truth. She's a hard worker and she's a great mom and my best friend. And I can't imagine raising these two babies with anyone else. She's a godsend and love her to death. And she's my superwoman. And she's actually considering competing in natural bodybuilding maybe next year. And
okay, I was just going to ask you that, if she competes.
She hasn't competed yet. She could, and I'm sure she'll do really well. Just let her take her time at it. And when she feels comfortable to compete, I can help her out any way I can and bring her in the best shape that she can be. And I can tell you she gained, she'd probably get mad at me when I say this, but she gained 50 pounds with twins, which is not too bad. And she's probably 10 or 15 pounds below her pre-pregnancy weight right now, and she's looking really good. So if she decides
wow.
to compete in the spring or summer of next year, she's really sitting in a really good spot at this point.
Yep, she is. And that's probably a testament to her, you know, her level of health before she was pregnant with the twins. Because I can tell on myself, I gained 40 pounds with my first one alone, and he was just one. So for her to only gain 50 pounds with twins, that is pretty darn good. I'm impressed.
And they both weighed a little over 6 pounds apiece, too.
Oh, wow. So they were good size.
Yeah, they were big
for
twins.
So, well, I hope the listeners will indulge me. I'm always very interested in, you know, the more personal lives of competitors because it is a balancing act, and there's a lot that goes on in everyone's life. And as Kaylin said, you are one of the most conditioned people he's ever met. And, you know, even though we might not see your name in the spotlight on an ongoing basis, anytime you show up to compete, you're definitely there to compete. So this speaks to a lifestyle of, you know, you're almost in continual readiness.
Right.
What's your secret? What's a regular day or workout block, or what does that look like for you?
It just depends on the mood. No, really, I don't let myself get too far out of shape. I don't like calling it an off season, but during the off
exactly.
season, we'll go ahead and say it's an off season. Rule of thumb that I learned from Brian Whitaker some years ago. I used to email him every once in a while and ask questions, and he was the most energetic person that I could get a hold of that would not hesitate to answer any question that I have. And he's like, "Don't lose sight of your abs in the off season. You know, gain your weight. Eat plenty, but don't lose complete sight of your abs." And I'm not 8%. I think the most I get up to is normally around 10 to 12%. Of course, that varies from person to person based on the body type. But just don't let yourself get too far gone in the off season. Be mindful of what you eat, because if you plan on competing. In future shows, you know, you're only as good as your last show. And
mm-hmm.
yes, you can make improvements in the off season without blowing up, gaining 30 or 40 pounds. I've been down that road, and embarrassed enough to say it, I've gained 38 pounds in a matter of 3 days after my very
Ooh.
First show. And I was miserable. I was so miserable. I couldn't lay down on my side. I had to sleep on my back. Ankles were swollen, and it's just miserable. And a rite of passage? No. Stupidity? Yes. Lack of knowledge? Yes.
Especially even in the bikini world, you hear a lot of sad stories of women that go through this whole process, and then after they compete within a matter of months, well, usually months, not 3 days, that must have been one heck of a binge, but that
oh, wow.
you know, they'll gain 40, 60 plus pounds back, and it's a devastating thing. It really is.
It is, and that weight that's gained, that weight that's, yeah, the weight that's gained is not, it's not water weight. Some of it is, but you're going to put on a lot of fat, and it's going to be that much harder to get off. I've been there and done that, and it was just miserable. And I've never, ever done that. I can remember after my overall win in Evansville for the WMBF Pro Card, I was so excited to get a salad with everything that I wanted. And that's the truth. I mean, I like, that sounds boring, but, you know, if you have a coach that diets yourself, diets the client responsibly, there shouldn't be any reason for blowing up after a show.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes. Yes.
A good coach is going to give proper direction. I've helped a couple people lose weight. I prepped a guy and a girl for a show myself, and flexible dieting. I'm not saying everything, you know, I understand if it fits your macros, IIFYM, but there has to be limits on that. You can't just eat Snickers bars and ice cream for every meal. Even when I get ready for a show or not getting ready for a show, I have a sweet tooth, but I keep it at bay the best I can because I am a flexible dieter, and I have a thing for cereal, kids' cereal, and I can't tell you the last time I did not have kids' cereal at the end of the night. But the bulk of my diet, whether getting ready for a show or not getting ready for a show, is more nutritionally dense foods. There's no such thing as a good food or a bad food. Alberto Nunez said it the best. People have given food morals, and that's what it has. You can give food morals by saying it's bad or good. Not true. Mm-hmm. Anything can be fit into a diet. You know, I'm not saying eat pizza every meal, but there's more nutritionally dense foods. I'm big on vegetables. I make sure that I hit my micronutrients, and at the end of the day, I have cereal. So, I mean, there's no reason to not enjoy what you eat.
That's
and
true.
Look forward
That's
to
true.
The end
I
of the
think...
show so you can gorge yourself, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's part of bodybuilding that gets a little bit of a bad rep. I mean, there are times when you're prepping and you're on the homeward stretch, and yeah, you are leaning down and things aren't as fun as they could be. But for the most part, I mean, you're eating clean, you're eating healthy, and you can have your treats here and there.
Right.
Now, when you say flexible dieting, what is your definition of that? Because that's a big question that a lot of athletes have, or people considering the sport. What do I eat? How do I eat? How much? I mean, a lot of times, many of them are eating too little. But when you say flexible dieting, what does that mean to you?
Flexible dieting.
Your cereal at the end of the day? Yeah.
For me, yeah, I like cereal and ice cream too. But it all boils down to your macronutrient intake, which are your protein, carbs, and fat. Like I said, mm-hmm. I like vegetables. I always put vegetables in people's diets that I do, but I allow them to, if they want a candy bar or some Skittles or ice cream or cereal, something that's not your typical healthy, quote-unquote, diet food, that's fine, but make sure that you put the nutritional label in your Fit Day or whatever food tracking app that you have or whatever you use on your computer, and just figure that in your macronutrient intake for the day. Of course, like I said, you can't have a Snickers at every meal, but the bulk of your food needs to be, in my opinion, of flexible dieting is more nutritious, more nutritionally dense foods. And yeah, if you have a craving, eat it, but track it. That's what it boils down to.
And that's the important part, because some people might think of Lahir nutritional or flexible dieting or flexible nutrition and think, you know, okay, I can just eat whatever, which is what you're saying. To a degree, you can, but the key to that is still tracking it. You have to track your food. You have to know what you're putting in and what's going out as far as, you know, caloric expenditures. But.
And I think the bulk of most people have it in their minds that flexible dieting goes along the same word as a cheat meal or a cheat day. First of all, I don't believe in a cheat day. And personally, me, I don't believe in a cheat meal. Even though I have, we'll go back to the cereal again. I'm going to beat it in the ground. But it's like the cereal. It's accounted for. You track your macros, you plug it in, and it, make it fit your numbers. A cheat day, cheat meal, it has no place. If you really want to get shredded, totally shredded, I know some coaches out there say, I give my clients a cheat meal, or they can have a couple of cheat meals a week. I like to be accountable for everything that goes in my body. So I know that I'm hitting my numbers on those low days, medium days, high days, or whatever. But at the end of the day, everything is accounted for. That's all that it really boils down to.
Yep, and it's important. So, Kaylin, off season, if you're ever in off season, I think you're always on the on season. But are you counting your macros, tracking your food year round?
Yeah, actually, I do a pretty good job. Oh, since March, I've tracked every meal, anywhere from 4 to 6, 7 meals a day. I have it on my Fit Day. I can pull it up and tell you what I had. 15, 16 weeks ago, 20 weeks ago. That's just how I am, because I have a goal for next year to bring in even better conditioning. And I'm really sitting in a good place right now. I'm 8 weeks out from a powerlifting meet, relatively lean, have glute striations. I run once a week. I ran 12 miles a couple weeks ago. People, it's kind of going against the grain. People say you can't run, you can't do cardio and gain strength. Well, you can. Just everything has to be monitored. But as far as food intake goes, yes, I do track. When I'm not getting ready for something, I'm a little bit more loose. I'll still enjoy a meal with the family, like on Thanksgiving or Christmas. I cook every night for my wife and children. And we don't track their macros yet, but it's just a lifestyle. And once you do it for a while, yeah, you really don't have to track it. You can eyeball it and guess, but just pay attention to what you see in the mirror, and your performance in the gym should tell you whether you should eat more, eat less, or start tracking your macros. So.
And that's good. I mean, that's a process. So is it Fit Day you keep saying? Is that the system that you
use? I use Fit Day. I've used Fit Day from day one, and I probably have at least 300 entries that I can choose from. So going to the grocery store, whatever I buy, it's already on my Fit Day. And it's just real simple and easy to use, and I've stuck with it.
And that's the important part, is finding something that works for you individually and that you will use, because if it's hard, you're not going to.
Right.
My mind keeps traveling back to the advice you were given, not to lose sight of your abs.
Right.
I'm so much probably sitting back there thinking, well, how do I not lose sight of my abs? I mean, what did that mean to you? What was that process like for you when he said that?
Well, I mean, I'm guilty. I've gained weight and I've lost sight of my abs several times. I mean, I'm not perfect. No one is. But when you got a world champion telling you don't lose sight of your abs, you can progress without losing sight of your abs. You kind of look at it from different angles. Like, what? You know? So, I mean, basically, I just tracked my macronutrient intake and my food intake after my shows, gained weight, monitored myself in the mirror, and maybe once a week on the scale, see if I was going in the right direction. If I got to the point where everything in the midsection was getting just a little bit blurry, that's okay, but don't let it completely disappear. Have some definition in your abdominal cavity. If it got a little too far gone, maybe it's time for a 3-5 week mini cut in the middle of an off season to get everything back in check. And so basically that's what I've done and had good success with it. And fortunately I haven't had to do a mini cut in quite some time, and strength's going up. I'm gaining decent size and I'm staying relatively lean.
All right. Cause I was losing that. I'm in the middle of the quote off season, which we really shouldn't, I guess, have an off season. I'm thinking, man, maybe I need to lay off that popcorn a little bit. I have to see if I still have side of my abs or not. So, wow.
Hey,
right,
if I could,
Jay? Yeah, go ahead.
If I could jump in. Ben, now, I've been blessed enough to see you compete, but I've also been blessed to see you as you prepared someone for competition. And one of the things that always gets me, because especially with coaches that are really sincere about health and fitness, is that you get more involved with your client than, you know, I thank God your wife was there, but you were more engaged with him than you were with what you were. You were almost forgetting sometimes to address yourself. And I was just, that's really... I think that's one of the biggest things, one of the biggest lessons of natural bodybuilding, is that we do have people that are so engaged with the actual health of the competitor, not the actual win. The win is basically the sidebar of the health. And that was most important to you, where you were saying, you know, how do you feel? And, you know, what's going on in your head? And, you know, are you depleted and you're looking this or that? Everything was so engaged with him. I'm like, well, dang, when did he find time for himself? And he, like I said, thankfully, Amanda was there, and she was there to balance it out. But, you know, I think that's a very defining thing for natural bodybuilding, is that we do have people like you that can engage on both sides and still be balanced enough to be successful in both.
Well, I appreciate that. It kind of backfired on me my last outing 2 years ago at the NGA Heart of America. During the prejudging, my color, I thought it was dark enough, and I was helping apply a dream tan to another competitor, and my tan wasn't even dark enough. Nobody even told me, but hey, I went out there. I did what I thought I could do. I corrected the issue in the evening. Too late by then. I know it hurt my placing, but live and learn. It will not happen again. But I enjoy helping people. If I'm prepping somebody, or especially if I'm prepping somebody, they have my total undivided attention. Like I said, Rio, the guy that I prepped that you met a couple of years ago, he was at my house. We trained together. He was at my house 4 or 5 days out of the week. We were doing posing. We were practicing on how to apply dream tan. Just going through the motions as in detail as I possibly could, trying to teach him everything that I've been taught and everything that I've learned on my own, just to help him bring his best self. And because if I'm prepping somebody for a show, they're representing me, and I'm representing them. So... they have, I go all in, and like I like to say, you know, zero limits, you know, zero limits is a mindset. And so that's what I strive to get my clients to understand, that you can do anything if you believe in yourself, but you have to believe in yourself first. And we go from there.
Well said, Dee.
I'm just amazed. I'm so impressed that you help your clients practice putting on their tan. I mean, you really are a full service coach from start to finish. I mean, all the important things that play into it. So it's very nice. So you're getting ready to get back in the swing of things. I mean, what's going through your head now? Where is your head at? You're what's bringing you back to the stage?
Well, part of the 2-year layoff was to make obvious improvements in my physique, but the birth of my babies a year and a half ago, I had a lot to do with it as well, and I didn't feel like it was bodybuilding was much of our priority. Now, I can tell you that I haven't missed a scheduled workout since probably 2007, other than the birth of my kids. I took 5 days off, but I was back in it as soon as we got back home. As was my wife when she was healed up and ready to go. She was back in the gym, and I'm looking forward to competing. Powerlifting this fall, looking forward to that. I used to compete in bench press only, equipped powerlifting, used a bench shirt. My best bench was a 530 in the gym at 210 pounds, and 500 in the meet, which I won the meet for the highest lift at 210-pound body weight. But this is unequipped, raw, just a belt and wraps, Waynesville, Missouri, and it's 8 weeks out. Just it's a good motivator to keep me on track. Not that I've fallen off track, but it's a mini goal leading up to show preparation that will follow shortly after, probably in November or December. Hopefully be able to do 2 and possibly 3 shows in 2016.
Okay. Very good. Who knows? Maybe you and Kaylin will run across each other again in a show out there coming up. What do you think about that, Kaylin? Did we lose Kaylin?
No, you did not. I didn't hear the question, though.
Oh, sorry. I said maybe the two of you will run into each other again in 2016. What do you think about that?
You know, I would love to stand on stage with this guy because he's one of the most outgoing, energetic, and his vibe is so warming. I can't believe.
I promise not to step in front of you during a crab most muscular. I've been known to do that.
With that vascularity, you might pop a vein and knock my eye out.
I'll have to put your can on if you need.
You trying to kill me, man.
I would love to be in the front row to see that.
I'll give you advice.
I would be so overjoyed to have you, Jeremy, Ryan, you know, just all the guys that that really have a passion, that true passion, you know, especially with us being so close to each other. There's certain things, you know, as a fan, not as a bodybuilder. This what I'm saying is strictly as a fan, is having people that can really light up the stage and just be themselves at the same time. It's not an act with you guys. You guys are putting your heart out there because that's where it is. It's not about, you know, who's standing next to you. It's about what you've done. And for me, that's natural bodybuilding. When you step on stage, you're being the best you. And you guys cover all facets. And it's like when you get off stage, it's almost like you're like wisps of smoke. You disappear and it's like you got to... I had to scour social media to find you, man. I'm like, where the heck did this guy go? Go ahead, Dee.
Well, I'm glad.
Yeah,
that
I've been
him.
I've been known.
Go ahead.
He said he had to scour social media to find me. Well, yeah, that's true. I've been known to just hang out in the shadows and until the time comes, make an appearance. But I'm actually currently working on a project of starting a YouTube channel, and it's not up and running yet, but it should be within a couple of weeks. I'm working on some video footage and some ideas that my wife and I are compiling with one another, and she's actually started a YouTube channel with dieting and training, the life of a twin mom, if you will, and my channel is going to be more based on training and my philosophy and my thoughts, pretty much. there's a lot of things out there on the internet that these guys are saying that not that it really matters, but I want to voice my opinion too. So be on the lookout for that. I'm sure I'll shoot Kalen a link once I get it up and running, and maybe you can share it with everyone. Try to get
Will
some
do.
Followers and just not trying to put myself in the limelight by any means, but get myself back out there and maybe even make my prep, which the past two or three preps have not been public, but I'm looking forward to maybe sharing how I go about things on my way leading up to the stage, and do that in video and video logs, and we'll go from there.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds exciting.
Well, honestly,
I look forward to seeing it.
There's one thing, and I've been, Desiree and I have talked about this, along with a lot of other people we've had on the shows, is that in order for natural bodybuilding to truly grow, we have to get the enhanced realm out of it, because doing their prep doesn't work for a natural lifter or bodybuilder. And also, the bro science has to die. I mean, we have to kill that. And I said, we can't let it be like the vampire. We got to put a stake in its heart and it comes back some other kind of way. We got to kill it dead. I mean, cut the head off and hope it's not a hydra, because the ignorance is basically impeding the growth of the competitors and the sport, because
right.
it's always getting derailed, because the person that you think would have the physique and form to last for years basically was dieted or trained wrong, and they either get injured with an injury basically off of bad form, or the metabolism shot from bad diet. And, you know, we need people like you that have, you know, can stay year-round and basically address your body's needs and still be a dad, a husband, you know, a person that has a life. I mean, these things are necessary. I don't think you're putting yourself in the limelight. You're just sharing what you know.
Right.
And well said, well said. So with that being said, you know, the reason that we host these podcasts are so that we can help other natural athletes be the best that they can be. So I think your YouTube channel is definitely going to fall in line with that. But, you know, what advice, you know, in addition to, which the big one you already mentioned is, you know, monitor your food, you know, count your macros, know what you're putting into your body and enjoy it at the same time. You're having scheduled workouts that you are committed to. But in addition to those two huge ones, what other tips or advice would you have to share without stealing your thunder from your channel that our listeners should be considering so they can have a lifestyle or maintain a healthy lifestyle year-round and continue to prep the right way for shows as it fits into their schedule?
Well, you have to realize it all starts within your own mind. It's a belief. You have to believe in yourself. Like I said earlier, I mean, if you don't believe in yourself first, who else is going to believe in you? You know, you got to set goals. You got to have a vision. You got to adamantly work towards that. And, of course, life is going to happen. That's why natural bodybuilding should always be second to family. I've seen it many times over. I can't go to family function because they're eating whatever. I got to bring my food. Don't be miserable. You have to live your life. You know, like Kalen said earlier, bodybuilding, I'm very passionate about it. Powerlifting, very passionate about it. But I can tell you one thing, family, I'm more passionate than anything in the world. Family always comes first after God, and I'm not afraid to say that. If people don't like that, then that's fine. Everybody's entitled to their own opinion. Some people may not like my opinion, but, I like to believe in myself first, set goals, hit those goals, be real with yourself. You know, you have to be true to yourself.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
And there's a lot of smoke and mirrors across the board in natural bodybuilding, but you have to be true to yourself and believe in yourself. and I keep harping on the belief system, but most people spend a lot of time and too much energy worrying about their other competitors. Of course, if you compete, you should want that number one spot, but you should ultimately try to beat your previous self. Now, that's making some headway if you beat yourself from show to show, progressing forward. That's not a negative in any way, but you just got to keep progressing and beating yourself and believing in yourself. Just quit comparing yourself to others. You know, all these online, everybody looks good online in a picture by themselves. But until you see them on stage against somebody, standing next to somebody, it's like, wow, he doesn't look as good as I thought he did. But I'm guilty of it too. And we're all going to compare ourselves to certain people, but don't let that rule and dictate how you are with competing. You know, if you're always looking at the other competitor, I wonder how he's looking. I wonder how she's looking. You know, you're not focusing 100% on you. And so you're really telling yourself you don't believe in yourself, you know. And that's basically my philosophy. You know, I keep beating myself. That's my number one goal when I'm competing. And just belief. You got to believe. You got to believe in yourself.
Wow, I like that. I really do.
And sometimes that's the hardest part of it. Go ahead, Kaylin.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, it's I always compare gym to life and life to gym. And if anybody ever goes on my Facebook page, that's one of the notes I wrote about how they correlate, you know, because if you believe in you, at your job, you'll be successful. If you believe in your family, you'll have a good family. I mean, these things are addressed because of the belief that you carry, it's almost like that Star Wars when they went to visit Yoda. And Luke asked him what was in the cave, and he said, only what you take in with you.
Right.
And sometimes we take a lot of crap with us that doesn't need to go. And if we just go in there with an open mind and spirit, we'd be a lot more successful because the demons that are created are our own.
And I would agree. I would agree. The mind game is always the toughest one to win sometimes. But, you know, when you do have that belief system, and the support system is also very important, so critical, and it sounds like you've got a wonderful support system and Ultimate and Amanda. I need one of her. If you want to clone her and send her my way, it would be great.
She's pretty awesome.
That's she good. Is. That's
really
good. I hope she's listening in so she can hear that, because that's the one.
She's working. She's actually working on her her page right now, her YouTube channel.
Always busy.
Never a dull moment. Never an idle moment. I tell you.
With the twins, I can imagine. I mean, that had to be
kind
of cool having a boy and a girl all at once.
On my work day or an off day from work, my days start at about 4:30 in the morning. And I'm out the door by 5:45. I don't get home till 3:30. When I get home from work, my wife, Amanda, she goes to the gym for an hour and a half or so. And I play with the babies. Normally, I fix them supper. When she gets home from the gym, I immediately go to the gym and do my thing for an hour or so. Then I come back, play with the babies. It's bath time. It's time to relax with them for a little bit, put them to bed, take a shower. By that time, it's about 8:45 at night, and we get about 45 minutes to an hour, and then we're in bed ourselves, and we start the day over again the next day. So even on my off days from work, it's the exact same way. Never an idle moment, but we wouldn't trade it for the world, let me tell you. It's an awesome experience, and everyone should experience it.
Definitely. Kids are a blessing, that's for sure. Real quick, we we're getting a little bit short on time, but we're still pretty good. But I want to talk about your power lifting a little bit. I mean, I noticed, at least in my neck of the woods, where I've seen several bodybuilders that will transition to powerlifting or go back and forth between the two sports. Was it just a natural transition for you, or how did you segue into in that part of competing too? And or is this just one of the tools you use to keep you on track for, you know, in between competitions?
Pretty much both. Like I said, when I first started out hitting the gym, didn't know what I was doing. And so I got interested from a guy that I used to work with. He was a power lifter, and I started off with powerlifting and started training that way, and got interested in equipped competition bench press and did that for a couple of years. Did okay. Then I got off track of that and got on the natural bodybuilding train and been on that for quite a while. And I've took interest in the past couple of years of seeing guys like Dr. Lane Norton and Alberto Nunez and Brad Loomis, a lot of different people doing the powerlifting in the off season, Ryan Doris as well. And I'm like, wow, you know, I would like to do that too. So I've been training the powerlifting and power building style for a couple of years. This year, been solely focused on more powerlifting movements, the squat, bench, and deadlift. They've improved quite a bit. I've dabbled in a few different programs, successful with DUP. Currently, I'm doing some nonlinear periodization, and it's working out pretty good. It's just a fascinating sport outside of natural bodybuilding, a total different ball game as far as the training goes, for the most part. Mm-hmm. And it's
and
just
a
constant.
I mean, what's different? I mean, how do you go about it?
Well, of course you got the main movements, the squat, bench, and deadlift. I mean, those are staples in my routine, regardless of powerlifting or natural bodybuilding. But basically setting it up in blocks. Bodybuilding was more geared toward hypertrophy and trying to gain the size, higher rep range. But the beautiful part about powerlifting is the stronger you get, the stronger your hypertrophy movements will be when you jump back across the tracks. So in turn could lead to potential better gains in the gym. But the strength game, it's real, as they say. And it'll wear you down, so you got to take breaks every once in a while and deload and take care of your body and your joints. I'm a big fan of Epsom salt baths once or twice a week, and it helps reduce the inflammation and the soreness. And I'm having fun with it right now, and I think that's what it matters in the end. At the end of the day, is if you got to have fun with what you're doing, and this is. I know that's helping me become a better bodybuilder. So miniature goals along the way keep me driven and focused.
And you have to have those. They're as important as the long term. So what kind of, is there any particular supplementation that you rely on, you know, just to help your body recover faster or just, the fine-tuned machine that it is?
I eat a lot of food, to be quite honest. The supplement cabinet, I like a few different things. Whey protein is a staple, of course. I like to keep a fish oil on hand. Not big on a multivitamin, just my opinion. I eat tons of vegetables, so I know I'm hitting my micronutrients. Saving money there. Other than that, keep it simple. Creatine. I haven't taken creatine in quite a few years, and I've been supplementing with creatine for several months now, and thought I was a non-responder before, but I believe I'm actually a responder. I don't know if I was taking it wrong, or if you could even take it wrong, but I'm noticing gains from that, strength gains, that is, and pretty simple.
Okay. Kalen, do you have anything in our for Ben in our last couple minutes with him?
Yeah, I got one for Ben, and it's something, you know, coming from the military background, you know, there's a lot of things that are instilled in us that we sometimes make so much a part of our life that we overlook it daily, even though we do it daily. There are certain things, you know, my dad instilled in me from his military background, and once I got into the military, it made more sense. But there is a mindset that goes with that, and maybe you could elaborate on how that has helped with your discipline, because there's sometimes, you know, and I'm sure when you were in the service, there were just days where you didn't have a choice. And I think sometimes in the gym, it's like, okay, put up or shut up. And you know how to get there, yeah.
Yeah, like you said, the mindset, discipline, big thing, military, especially being a former Marine, discipline was a big thing. But I think the biggest thing, even bigger than that, after discipline, would be attention to detail. And I like, you know, that's helped immensely during each of my preps, is the attention to detail. And the people that I help, you know, I try to install how important that is, the little details, the little things that you think are not going to be a big deal. At the end of the day, when the stage lights are shining on you, those little details made all the difference, or could have made all the difference. Mm-hmm. And just attention to detail, the discipline. But you also have to have fun with it, too.
Mm-hmm. That's what I had. You got it?
I was just listening to you two, taking it all in. I don't have anything to add to that. And with that, Ben, I would just like to thank you so much for taking the time to be with us on P4P Real Talk tonight. I think you've shared a lot of things that have been helpful for people, a lot to consider. You know, everybody's journey is different, and yours has definitely had some twists and turns, but it's been very fruitful. Do you have any last-minute parting thoughts that you would like to share?
I just appreciate you guys having me on, and thank you, Kalen, and P4P. I appreciate it a great deal. And like I said, you know, you got to believe in yourself. If you don't believe in yourself first, then you're just shooting yourself in the foot. But I had a good time, and I hope that I didn't sound too offbeat.
No.
Not used to this, but I appreciate the interview and the time that you've taken to talk to me.
No, you were every way. So with that, everyone, go home. If you don't have the confidence, if you're not practicing that belief, that's something you definitely should be working on tonight. With that, I am Desiree Fletcher, and on behalf of Ben and Kalen and P4P, your body is a temple. Let's build it. We'll see you next time.